God is faithful, and when he puts desires on our heart, it's not to torture us. I truly believe it's for us to believe. Just, hey, daughter, keep believing. I know it's been hard. Keep believing. Like, we should not stop believing. Just because it's taken a long time doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Everybody, it's Kate
and JJ,
and we are currently probably on maternity leave while you are listening to this, but we're still launching some awesome episodes, and this specific episode we recorded with the amazing Ashley Hetherington, aka Honey Scoop. That's what you love to call her.
I know. Is that weird to call people by their Instagram handle?
Well, no.
I love
because it's a
it.
Fun name.
I love calling you Kateness.
You do call me Kateness sometimes. It is a bit weird.
Or woman, or wife.
Oh no, 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 not those.
Or lover.
Okay, weird. Are you Taylor Swift? Anywho, also speaking of, Ashley was randomly in my dream last night. Oh my gosh, I just remembered. We actually go way back to a connection we have in Ohio. I lived there in high school and Ashley's from there. Anyway, I had a dream about Ohio last night and Ashley was in it.
Well, fun fact, speaking of Taylor Swift, who else do you have dreams about consistently?
I do have a lot of dreams about Taylor Swift. I know, it's weird. Maybe I'm supposed to meet her.
Kate, literally Kate thinks that her and T-Swift are going to be friends one day because you have dreams about her.
Well, I don't know what the dreams are about, but thank you for saying that, because now tonight I'm going to have that dream again. Another dream with her in it.
Well, I mean, it's just you and some of these guys who have dreams about their future wives. You guys just have so much in common.
Yeah, totally. Well, today, guys, we're talking about, is singleness really a gift? Ugh, who hates that when everybody says singleness is such a gift?
I never hated it.
You didn't.
But I could imagine if I had to wait year by year by year, and it started to, you know, be year 15, mm-hmm. year 17, year 23, I think it could get old.
It gets old. Now, it doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes people slap that on, like, well, but you should appreciate it. Your singleness is a gift, as if there's no struggles, as if the singles shouldn't complain, as if singles shouldn't feel loneliness and disappointment and grief. And that is, so we're talking about a lot of that today with Ashley, which is going to be awesome.
Right. It kind of like reminds me when you date in your 20s, you kind of feel like you have everything ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And hearing singleness is a gift might be annoying. It might have meaning, but as you hear it in your 30s and you're having to grieve mm-hmm. and reconcile that this really has not worked out the way you had hoped.
Yeah.
The phrase singleness is a gift starts to not really feel like a gift.
Totally.
Right.
So a few other things, you guys, today we want to just let you know that we have an awesome Patreon community that has grown insanely in the last month, and we've been doing some fun events, and word on the street is next month in April we might do another fun event. I can't tell you what yet, but we want to keep you guys connected to the podcast in a more intimate way. And so if you want to just support us and join an awesome community, go to patreon.com/heartofdating. Last thing I want to tell you before we introduce and bring on Ashley is that we have tons of free resources on heartofdating.com outside of all of the podcasts that we have, which we have like over 300, I believe. But one of our recently new resources is the Are You Ready to Date guide, okay? That takes you through a few practical questions and exercises to really assess, are you in a good place to date? So if you want that resource, you can go to heartofdating.com/resource/ready-to-date, and you can get that free guide.
Okay, and thank you, Kate. We're going to wrap up this nice introduction and get into the episode today
with Honey Scoop.
Honey Scoop.
Woo woo.
Let's go.
All right, we have Ashley Hetherington here. What's up, girly.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here with y'all.
I know. Well, usually when I see you, it's when you go on an Instagram live daily, and it is like you are so positive. That is the one live notification that goes off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I definitely just want to check in because you just bring so much radiant joy with you and us.
Thank you. We love our live fam, but I'm just so happy to be here with y'all. And just, I love everything you guys stand for, everything you guys talk about. It's so needed in our society. I'm so excited.
Well, we go a little ways back. We have an interesting connection that like mutual friends of ours, kind of parents, knew each other and like connected us from the days when I lived in Ohio, because you're from Ohio, right, Ashley?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's just so crazy. Like, I remember that first time we had first communication years ago. And I remember my mom telling me, oh, I heard about this girl you should meet. And it just is so funny. And now we met in person a few years ago at a retreat in Nashville, outside of Nashville. And now like we've gotten to grow into friendship, which is so cool from that moment, which is just this, the world is so small. And then JJ's friend married somebody who is good friends with you from Ohio. Like, what?
It was weird. It was like God needs these people to be friends.
Yes. I know. Well, are you a Buckeye or?
You know, I'm going to disappoint people. I truly am not a very sporty person. It is just not how the Lord created me. And so I love the Buckeyes, but like, I'm not going to like have it, you know, like some people's living rooms were decked out Buckeyes and that was not me.
Well, okay. That might be true as far as viewership, but I did get the privilege and honor to see you playing pickleball. And so you saying you're not a sport girl is a total lie, because you and Kobe Koloff and Michaela, all these girls were like, I thought they were about to start like fighting after it got so competitive.
Like, I love being active. It's just like sports. Like, I'm not going to watch, you know, football every day. So
yeah, that's right. I'm with you, girl. I was you 100% before I met this guy. I've never watched so much football as I have now with JJ, like more football than I ever thought in my life. And when I lived in Ohio, I just was amazed at all these Buckeye fans. Like, it was, I grew up in Connecticut. It was just not the same with football there. And it was intense. And like Saturdays during those games, like people were, it was shut down. Like the cities, everyone's like watching these games in Columbus. So anyway, I just love that we connected that way and have grown in friendship over the years. And now we're going to get to do real-time friendship in Nashville, because we're going to be living there in a few like weeks from now. But one big thing to just start off the top is such a cool thing, Ashley, is that you and all the things in growing your Instagram and platform and also the Honey Scoop, which I want you to tell people about. Now you are also launching this book into the world, Joy of the In-Between. And it's so awesome. It is so good. And so would you just tell people a little bit about that to start us off?
Yes. So the Joy of the In-Between is all about waiting seasons and how to actually have joy when you're waiting on God and how to actually trust God in a waiting season. So it's a 100-day devotional. So you can read it every single day, because sometimes that season, I mean, it might be longer than 100 days for you, but at least it's a way for you to focus on the Lord, keep your eyes on the Lord, just go through that season with Him so that you're not alone and you have the strength to get through it. And not only that, but you can have joy through it.
It's so good. Like, I just remember when I opened and when I started reading the first few, I was like, oh my gosh, I would have so wanted this. This is so needed. And I still would do it and read these things even in marriage now, because it doesn't mean you're not in a waiting season just because you're married, you know, and there's waiting seasons all in different parts of life. Also, though, quickly, before I get to my next question, you also run the Honey Scoop. You do so much. What do you tell the people what you do if they've never connected with you before?
Yes. So welcome. My name is Ashley. I'm so happy you're here. I have a ministry called the Honey Scoop, where my focus is to help you grow closer to God and reach your full potential in Him. I also have I also speak, I write, I'm writing a book, and it's really just for you to have a space where you can grow closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And what's the significance behind Honey Scoop? I was always curious.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay. I think it was 5 years ago when we started it. It was back in the URL days, which maybe some of you guys remember those days, but I mean, yeah, they were, you know, it's been a minute, but I was thinking about what to name my URL. And I was thinking about biblical words for like words, like encouragement. What are biblical words for that? And the scripture, Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul, healthy for the body. So I was like, oh my goodness, honey. I love that. So then we just ran with it and it's stuck.
Well, I love that, the Honey Scoop, and it's grown so much. And I love that you're kind of like people's big sis in Christ, like you really are. And I think that's even like a hashtag or a thing, not hashtag, a little thing on your bio or something, right? It's so good, just on your personal and through Honey Scoop, which is so encouraging. And so one thing, this is actually just side note, this is the first time we've also had an SOD grad on the podcast. So Ashley did go through School of Dating last year. And yeah, I don't know. It was awesome to have you, girl. And I was like, oh, is she overqualified to be in this class? She might be, but we loved having you there. It was so, so good.
It was amazing. First off, if Jamie is listening, Jamie is the most amazing coach. Jamie just was so intentional. I just love her. I hope she will listen to this and she will be smiling right now. But I loved SOD because it's a lot about what we talked about right now, but like how to grow in your season of waiting, how to not waste your season of waiting, or even like, you know, you need to grow into the person that you would want to be with. And so many of us, we don't want to do that. We just want God to like FedEx our husband to our doorstep, but we don't want to actually work on ourselves. And so much of SOD is like looking inward, looking at like childhood wounds that like you forgot about, but they're going to impact your future marriage. You got to deal with them now. So it was amazing. If anyone's listening to this, you guys need to do it.
Well, okay. So hold on though. You wouldn't have taken SOD unless you were single yourself, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So you're single, or single with an asterisk, or, you know,
whatever
where are we
it
at?
Is.
No, she's single, right? As of right now, yes.
As of this moment, she's single with no asterisk.
Moment.
And, you know, would you say that singleness is a gift for you, or how would you describe your single experience right now?
So great question. I think the people who are listening to this right now probably heard the whole singleness is a gift and like kind of flinched a little, like kind of like you were like, oh, I hate that.
They definitely said, yeah.
And I would just say, you're not alone, because I don't like that either. I don't like either. And I would hear that even at the beginning of my faith journey, and people would say singleness is a gift. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, where did that come from? And it actually comes from scripture. Oddly enough, it comes from scripture, and I'm going to share it with you guys just in case you need to know, because it's not a personal opinion at that point. It's in the Word of God. So then we need to be paying attention. Even if we don't like it, we have to pay attention. So I'm going to read it. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. This is 1 Corinthians 7:32-33. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. And Paul wrote this. Paul never married. And I don't know. I would look at that and I'd go, well, you know, what does Paul know? Right? I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to Jesus's words, but I'm not going to listen to Paul's. And if one scripture is not correct, the whole thing we throw out. So all of it is useful for teaching, including this verse, even if we flinch when we hear it. So that can get us started on that conversation of singleness being a gift. It has to be, because this is what Paul says. He wants us to not be so concerned about, you know, what we have or what we don't have. He wants us to be faithful stewards of what the Lord has given us. And if we are single right now, like God has us in this place, perhaps for his, for his kingdom, not perhaps, absolutely for his kingdom, for his glory. And that when God wants us to be partnered with someone for the good of the kingdom, it will happen, but we don't need to like worry about it. But
well, so, okay. My question for you is, you know, how did you get to that place? Because, you know, right before that, obviously it is a funny thing to hear. And then you realize it's from scripture, but embracing it and being able to speak about it in the way that you just did, leading a ministry, really embracing your singleness. How did it look like to go from A to B to C and maybe where you're at, you know, Z?
Totally. That's a great question. And I really want to get vulnerable because like a lot of people, they talk about singleness and they're already in the promise. They're already, they've been married for 15 years or maybe they're 19 years old and they're talking about their 1 year of singleness. I don't want to out you if that is you listening to this because your story is beautiful and valid and everyone's story is different, but I still am single and I feel like I don't hear a lot of people talking about singleness, still being single. Like I don't hear that. So then all of us as singles are like, well, you don't get it. Like you genuinely don't get it. So I just want you to feel so seen and loved by the Lord. Like you are not alone. There are so many singles in the world. There are so many Christian singles, even though it seems like there are literally none when you go on Instagram. But anyway, I digress. So around 5 years ago, I got out of a relationship. I was dating this guy that I was dating for 4 years. And I was the most lukewarm girl you could think of. I was the lukewarm of lukewarm. And so my relationship was lukewarm. We weren't really running after Jesus. And so when we broke up, it was also around the same time as my parents' divorce. And it was like my world just shattered. I was like, oh my goodness. Like I know that this relationship wasn't, you know, it wasn't God's best for me. And then this happened. And I was like, Lord, where are you? And so after like, there was a long journey in that, but around 2 years after a year after I started my ministry, like really getting into it because in being wrecked by that season, God like rebuilt me. So I couldn't be lukewarm anymore. Like lukewarm wasn't working anymore. And so I just started my ministry and I started like, I lived at home and I was just working on my ministry every day. And meanwhile, my friends are all getting in relationships and everyone knows this, like post-grad or even in college, like people are pairing up pretty quickly. And then I basically got out of a relationship right after leaving college. So I was, and people say like college is the best place to meet your spouse. I don't know. God knows the best way for you to meet your spouse, period. So it doesn't have to be in college, but I just saw my friends pair up with people. And then all of a sudden, and then you're on Instagram and you're seeing people getting engaged and you're like, okay, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit because everyone's like in this season now. And I kind of feel like I'm on the outskirts. But meanwhile, the Lord was leading me into my ministry. And so like, it was just a different path. It was just like everyone was kind of going this way. And then like God said, you're going to actually go that way. And I'm like, what do you mean? Everyone's going that way. That way looks great.
I love the MRS degree. Why can't I have one of those?
That looks really fun. Like I desire that, Lord. But he's like, no, you're going this way. And the more that I would try to leave that path and go to like their path, like the herd's path, like God, it just never worked. Like it would literally fall apart.
That's so funny.
Right? Can you guys see it? It's just like, God's like, you can go that way, but if I have you in this season, like nothing's going to really change that. So unless it's his will, because he's sovereign and like, you know, or you get into something that you're not supposed to get into because you're impatient. So anyway, but I just started like really comparing my life and the season I was in to everyone else's in my friend group. Then I was starting to get invited to be a bridesmaid, which love that. But like when you're in like six weddings, you're like, whoa, this is crazy. And then every wedding, everyone's like, well, where is your man? Like, where's your husband?
Are you going to catch the bouquet?
Are you dating anyone? Like, it's just always the thing. And you want to be so happy for your friends, and you are happy for your friends. But at the same time, you're constantly looking at a season that is not your season. And whether it's relationship or maybe like children, or maybe it's a job, like you can sometimes be in a place where you just see the thing that you're waiting for, everyone else is getting it except for you. And it can feel so isolating. So I would be like, that was just such a difficult season. And then like, I feel like it's a roller coaster for the people who are probably listening, you understand, but God in his grace, like when you plead to him and you say, Lord, and you just get real and raw. And instead of you trying to, you know, go to a corner and isolate yourself from God and go, God, I'm upset with you. I'm actually going to go process this by myself. But instead, if you go to the Lord and you lament to the Lord and you say, God, I just went to 6 weddings and I have no idea where my husband is. And I have no idea what you're doing. And I have no idea what your plan is. Would you just be with me? Would you comfort me? Would you give me wisdom? And like in those moments when I would just plead to the Lord and I would get so ugly with God, like so ugly. And I would even get frustrated with him. Like he was there and I was like, talk to him like, God, I'm upset. Like I am upset. I don't understand what you're doing. Why would you put me through all of this? It was in that his Holy Spirit would like minister to me. And you know, that week, I remember one of a really difficult time that later that week, I heard a quote and it completely like God will all, he knows how to reach you. But for me, I heard this quote and it was God's blessings come in mysterious ways. And meanwhile, I was so focused on this other season that I wasn't in yet that I was missing the things that God was putting in my path right then. Like I was missing it because I was so focused on the next thing. Like I was missing everything right here. And truthfully, the people who were in the next thing were wanting what I was having. So it's like, what's the point of that? So I realized the Lord, he just started to minister to me those coming weeks. And even when I get, it's not like 3 years ago, I was completely content ever since. Like it's been a whole roller coaster, which we will get into. But the Lord just showed me like the gifts, like, okay, you can do whatever you want on a Saturday. You can literally do whatever you want on a Saturday. You don't have kids. You don't have to get permission from anybody. You do whatever you want on a Saturday. You want to go get Starbucks? Great. You want to go like go on a walk by yourself, like do a little hike? You go do that. You want to go travel? Like go. Like that's a gift. You can pursue the calling and the mission God has for you and you can run for it. And it's beautiful. And you can really be so focused on the kingdom. You can love your friends and grow in Christian friendships. You can grow closer to your family. Like so many things you miss out on when you're so focused to get to the next season.
And so many things that like marriage is a beautiful season. Like, but you, like Paul says in Corinthians, like you are distracted. Your priorities are divided. Like when you're single, you have the opportunity for undivided devotion to the Lord and the things of the Lord. And also for like just more space and time. And that's just like a actual fact and reality. Like people who are single have more space, freedom, and time than when you're married. And when you're married, you have not only your family, now your spouse's family too, and all of those dynamics. And when you're married, you have to consider your spouse's needs. When I'm single, I may have a roommate, but I'm kind of considering their needs, but it's not like so deep as it would be in like a marriage where you are trying to be the other half with this person. And so then you add kids and it's like, okay, then it's the kids' needs, right? And so there's beauty to all of that. But I think what you're saying is so profound that the Lord led you there, because I think that there's also singles listening who are like, yeah, that's good and all. But like, I'm like, you don't realize how awesome some of that is. Like, and if the Lord has you there, there is a purpose to it. We don't know exactly why. Why are singles who are listening single and 45? I don't have the full answer for you. You may never know the full answer, but I do know that the Lord is still close to you and still working on you and still has great things for you, whatever that might be, spouse or no spouse, you know? And so anyway, I just think that journey that you went on, and it just, I can relate to you in so many ways, because also, Ashley, like, I feel like the Honey Scoop and where it is now and how it's thriving and growing in this book, like, there's probably reality that maybe that wouldn't have existed in the same way if you had gotten married 5 years ago, right? Like, I say that about Heart of Dating all the time. If I hadn't gone through this massive breakup and started Heart of Dating after it single, like, I would have never, this wouldn't exist. I mean,
we had an episode, Ashley, about 2 months ago with the world's number one podcaster now, Tara Lee Cobble, who's been our girl for years with the
TLC.
Bible recap. And it's the exact same conversation. It's, you know what's funny? In the middle of the conversation, same realization, Heart of Dating, Bible recap, Honey Scoop, these great gifts that have served so many people probably would not exist today if 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, you guys had all partnered up. I mean, they might, we don't know with God's sovereignty, but the whole point is that these are ministries that we know for a fact now in the rearview mirror were only created because you guys happened to be single. And the point of that is not for everyone to say, thank you guys so much for stewarding your ministries and callings. Well, the hope is that someone hears that and says, dang, what if what God has for me is meant to be born in my singleness. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope people hear that and they're inspired to look around their life and say, what have I been maybe putting off because I've been focused on the wrong thing that God does not have for me right now?
That's such wisdom. And it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's also really cool when you think about it.
So you've said it's been like a roller coaster too. And that's where I want to ask, like, because to that point, it's like, okay, I can find this realization and God can speak to me and I can find everyone's loved word, contentment, potentially, but it's not like necessarily that that doesn't get challenged or there aren't times of disappointment still or hardship or frustration. And surely there's like still a wrestling it out at times with God. So how did you, after that, that moment and really like going forward in your journey, how did you handle the highs and lows and that roller coaster of grieving disappointment and also still finding that joy?
Again, literal roller coaster. This is not going to be the podcast where you listen to the girl who is already in a marriage telling you about singleness. This is the podcast where you're going to feel understood, loved, and seen by the Lord, hopefully. But it's been a roller coaster because I've been single for 5 years. So like literally just a roller coaster, like depending on the week sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's been a ton of low moments, I mean, like, I'm sure you can understand because you've probably felt that too. Disappointment with praying and fasting and believing and then it not happening. Whoa, that's so real. Disappointment with thinking that something is going to work out with a guy that you really like and then it doesn't work out. And you're like, that felt like it was the thing. Like that felt like that was going to be like the gift from God. And then it just falls apart. That's so disappointing. Okay. And then frustration when, you know, year after year, you see other people getting the thing that you've been praying for. And maybe they haven't even waited long, but then you're still in your waiting season. And so that's all real. Like, if you're feeling that right now, I just want you to feel so seen. Like, God has so much compassion for you and so much compassion for me and so much compassion for Kate and JJ when they were going through that season. Like, God sees that. Like, he sees the grief. He sees the hurt. And I think in those moments, y'all, it's a real test of faith. It's like, I can believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I can believe that Jesus, like, I'm going to go to heaven. But do I truly believe that God has a perfect plan for my life? And when you're in those moments of disappointment, frustration, even jealousy, bitterness, envy, like all those ugly things that we don't want to talk about, they're real. You're challenged. Your faith is challenged. Your faith is like it's put to the test. Are you going to trust God? And that's what this whole book is about, is like, how do you just trust the Lord? Like literally, like if you think about the trust fall where you have to like fall, I feel like with so many things in our lives, you're just falling and you're like, all right, God, I think you're going to catch me. But it's how much do you trust God?
And I think with that, it's also, and maybe you can speak to this too, like trusting God and surrendering whatever it looks like. Because sometimes we're like, I'm trusting you, God, with this specific thing. So you got to give me the man that's 6 foot tall and looks this way and has this career, and I'm going to trust you. And so now I'm going to trust fall, and you have to give me that man. Versus it being like, I'm trusting you that you are good and that your path for me is going to be perfect. And it might look different than what I'm thinking, right? Because I think that's also part of it. It's like we're trusting him to give exactly the perfect picture that we've put in our minds versus, and it's okay to still pray for specific things and ask the Lord, but also like balancing it with, right? Like, I'm trusting you that your way is better. I'm trusting you that the whatever path you have me on, whatever you do have for me is going to be more than I can ever think or imagine. Like, how has that been? How does that feel when I say that?
Absolutely. So I had to learn that too. Like, I was following God, but I was still wanting my own stuff for my life. Like, I was like following God, trusting God, surrendering to God, but I was still pushing my own agenda versus being like, God, my life's yours. Like, I'm actually dying to myself. I'm dying to myself, and I'm actually just going to live for you. So whatever that looks like, Lord, like, let me just serve you. And like, when we're when you don't get something that you want, like when you don't get it, I think God challenges that. He's like, are you really going to submit? Like, are you going to surrender? And this is so uncomfortable. No one wants to talk about this. It doesn't feel even good probably talk about it right now, but like, this is just the truth. Like, are we going to die to ourselves? Are we going to truly live for the Lord and say, God, whatever capacity that is, like, that's more important than me pushing my own agenda in my life and like my own 5-year, 10-year timeline.
Now, Ashley, what I love is, it sounds like more and more you have just become more and more honest with God, right? About your desires, about your frustration, your disappointment. Do you feel like part of that was kind of like almost like an onion, like with your desires, it was almost like, all right, God, I want what you have for me. But it was kind of like a half-hearted, like, I still have my plan behind the scenes. Like, did that kind of just come to light when whatever you were planning just didn't come through? Or did you just like start being honest? Like, what did that part of the desires of your heart, right, slowly being sacrificed, surrendered, look like?
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is so good because it kind of brings it back to like, you know, when you love God, he will give you the desires of your heart. But I think that we forget that God needs our full surrender first. He needs our full surrender first. So you don't push your own desires to God and say, God, sign off on this. Sign off on my 6-foot guy who's doesn't really love Jesus. Sign off on him, Lord, because I can change him, right? Like, we try to push our own agenda. You know what I'm saying?
And we almost hide it though, right? Like, sometimes it's more obvious, but then there's like that covert agenda, right, that we're really ultimately hoping, like, if we're honest, and I think that's the thing I probably found in myself. If I'm being honest, I say and proclaim that, God, I want what you have for me, but I'm really hoping it turns out how I want it to happen.
And God is so sweet, like so sweet with, I believe, the desires that he does put on our heart. So like, if you're surrendering and you're like, God, I want what you want. And he's like giving you dreams and visions of like you going and like being a missionary somewhere, or you going and being a teacher somewhere, or you going and like, I don't know, singing. Like, I just don't believe God puts desires and dreams and visions on our hearts just for like, just to like torture us. Like, right. I just don't believe that. So when you surrender and you're like, okay, God, take it, take my life, it's yours. And then that's when I think after you surrender, pay attention to the things that come up, to the opportunities, to the gifts that are highlighted, to even like the dreams and visions of you having a partner one day, like pay attention to that. Because the thing that I think a lot of Christians do is they're like, okay, well, I'm going to just surrender to my singleness and I'll just be single forever. God is not saying you will be single forever. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that in scripture. Like that, but he does say, I want you to surrender, submit to me, and I will establish your plans. I will establish it. Surrender. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He doesn't say, like, you're going to be single. You're not going to be single. It's like, surrender. And I got you. I'm going to lead you on your path. But you just got to surrender and trust me.
No matter what it looks like, no matter what the timeline, no matter, like, if it's just completely different than you what you had thought. Like, I remember when we had that interview with TLC, as you were just saying, like, she, years ago, we had her on the podcast, and she talked about this season of intentional singleness, which is awesome. But then years later, her mentor was like, okay, girl, this has been awesome. And I think I got to be honest with you. You're not being real with your desires. Like, you are being an intentional singleness because you don't want to deal with the pain and disappointment of singleness. And like, you still have that desire though. So I think you need to stop putting on your Instagram bio, intentional singleness, because, you know, it's just a way where she was like, instead of dealing with and facing the wrestling of having this desire, she was just like, nope, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just intentionally single. And like, God used that, obviously, Bible recap, and has popped off. It's like insane and so beautiful and everything she's done. But that's what we talked about a few months ago. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, it's not just like you're saying, Ashley, okay, surrendered and whatever. I'm just going to be single forever and I'm good and I don't need to think about it and I'm fine. I don't need no man, da, da, da. Like, you know, all those attitudes. It's easier to do that because then we don't have to face any of the disappointment, any of the grief we might feel, any of, like, we just are like, no, I don't feel sad. I'm not even looking at that. I'm not even considering dating. I'm not even like, I don't care. I'm fine. I'm good as I am. And like, we want you to feel good as you are, but not with a hardness of heart towards potentially what you still also desire. I think it's the braver thing and much harder thing to do, to hold both at the same time and to hold it and also surrender it. And we had Bethany Allen, we did an episode with her a few weeks ago, and she talked so amazingly about desire and contentment and how you hold those two things. How do you still have desire and remain content? Like these buzzwords, right, that we're talking about. And it's like a really hard but noble journey to go on. I'd love to know, just in, as we're saying, the gift of singleness, right? The quote that everybody hates, like, I don't want this gift. If this is a gift, I don't want it. That's what people usually say, right? But like, what have you found that you have done in this season? And what have you found to be the fruits and the gifts of your single life in like the last few years?
Yes. So I would say one is intimacy with God. Like, when you are single, you have an opportunity for God to be your everything. God should always reign number one, but there's a special closeness that you get with the Lord when it's just you and him. Like, there is a special intimacy that you get with God when you are in, you're reading your Bible in the mornings and there's no kids knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you exactly. And him. Just you and him. Yep. When you're laying in your bed at night, you just finished reading your book and you're just praying and there's not someone next to you. Mm-hmm. You can just talk to God. Like, it's just you and him. And so it's like, oh, that's boring. That is insane. You get to have devoted time with the Father every single hour, every single day. And you get to build that foundation so that when you're married, that's strong. Your faith is strong. Two, your friends. Your friends, the amount of lonely married Christians that I know, the fact that you can be building your good friendships right now, your solid friends who love Jesus, your sisters in Christ, your brothers in Christ, that can be going with you into that season, that is like, you're never going to get that time back to go. Yeah, last night, we were all like watching a movie. We were watching a movie and it's like all of our friends just in my living room. And I'm thinking, when I am married, I am not going to do this. Like, this is so special. We're all just eating popcorn. You know, we had tacos before. It's like, we're never going to get that back, you know? And we're single, so we can do that stuff. Family, you can love your family so well, like your mom, your dad, your sibling, any family member who doesn't know Jesus, you get to specifically minister in this time because you have time, which is another gift. You have time. You have time to travel. You have time to start a YouTube channel. Like you have time to go and start a new hobby, work out, move your body, like learn how to cook. You have so much time because again, you don't have children knocking at your door every 2 seconds. You know what I'm saying? And children are a gift. Marriage is a gift. You know, making lunch for your husband is a gift. I can't wait to do that someday. But like, you know, when you're making lunch for yourself and you have a whole day to yourself, you get to go, okay, how do I use this for the glory of God? How do I steward this for the glory of God? And this is where you on the other side of this, you get to get fired up about your season because you get to go, okay, what do I want to do right now that I can do? Like really do that and do it well.
I think I'm still hung up on the first one with intimacy with God. Like, I think some people hear that and that's something that I definitely struggled with. It's like, yeah, but also that's quote unquote boring, right? Can you even said that? And it's like, but no, if that is not enough for us, we're missing everything. If that alone is not our sole goal of this life to be as intimate with the Lord as possible, to make disciples of nations, to like, just be close to him, just be in his presence as much as possible, like that we're missing it. You know what I mean? Like, because no amount of having another person in your life is going to fulfill you more. And if you think it is, then you're going to also have that root of blessing in marriage as well. Like, and I think I have even more perspective on that now, but I just think like, there is, we do these little things where we're like, okay, we have our morning time and we have our Sunday time and we have these checklists. It's like the checklist God or our checklist life with God. Okay. I have my checklist and he's in these boxes, but it's not I desire him at every moment. I'm with him in every moment. I'm excited to spend time with him. I don't need to watch that show or be on my phone because yeah, maybe I get to have 30 minutes of silence being with the Lord, like, and that should be exciting. And I'm not saying that as a person that does that perfectly by any means, but it's something that I have just like regained a hunger for even in this last year of like, okay, practicing the presence of God, a book by Brother Lawrence. Oh, I sent you that book. Anyway, but that just like really getting in touch with every moment with the Lord is a gift and the intimacy with the Lord. So every single one of the points you just said are so powerful and important and true. And I just think there's something to also like, no matter what we are quote unquote promised or that what we do or do not get, like, the one thing that we can always bank on that should be our highest priority is intimacy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think as you guys talk about it, I'm like, it's sad, but I think we all have blood on our hands in the sense of we've all craved and desired the intimacy of marriage more than we've craved and desired the intimacy of the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to fall into that, trap. I mean, we do it. That's a daily decision, right? It's the offers of this world of distraction, of pleasure, or the offer of intimacy. I mean, that was my decision this morning at 4:45 in the morning. I was tired. I didn't really feel like maybe opening my Bible and praying. And that was just one of those moments where it's just like, man, what do I want to feed this morning? Do I want to feed my body that dissipates and gets old and raggedy throughout my life, right? It might be a quote healthy thing for my body, or do I want to feed my soul, which is going to last through eternity, and feed it with the divine presence of God? And it's so foolish to even talk about it. Like there's not a comparison, right, of the two. But Ashley, so, you know, you're in your waiting season. And so would you say, so the joy in between is kind of like, is it, are we balancing joy in one hand and, you know, holding grief and disappointment in the other, or is joy embracing the disappointment and embracing the grievance and working through it? Like, how do we hold both like hand in hand? Like, how do those two things interact with each other?
Well, and even just tracing back super quick, just because this really was part of that journey, the roller coaster journey for me, like God is faithful. Like when I'm telling you, when you pray and you say, God, help me in my singleness. Like, I don't understand. And I'm confused. When you pray, I don't know if you truly understand that there is a God who listens and there is a God who is faithful to answer, because he has answered me every single time I've been, you know, on my knees, like, God, what's going on? Every single time he answers. And one of those answers goes into what you guys were saying about, he just revealed to me, like, several people in like the next week, like after praying this, he revealed to me several people who were in happy, incredible marriages who were discontent in areas of their life. And I got to see that. And they shared it with me, like, oh, this isn't going right. And this isn't going right. And this isn't going right. And like different people. And I felt the Holy Spirit be like, it's not like you, when you get married, you're just like complete. Like,
right.
When you get married, you have other things you're waiting on. Mm-hmm. Like waiting seasons, we're always in a waiting season. Like always, we're always discontent. We're always going to have that. No, we're not always discontent, but we always have that the temptation to be discontent or to be feeling like we're in lack. But if we do what Kate said, where we find everything in Christ, we find our joy in Christ, we find our peace in Christ. And then what we do is we go into these places and these gifts God gives us, like friendship, like marriage, like whatever. And it's not like we're looking to that to fill us. We are overflow. We are looking to God for God to fill us. And then it's like wherever he calls us, we're overflow. But we're not ever looking at that to give us fulfillment. And that is key. Like whether you're waiting for your career to do well, whether you're waiting for you to have a child, like there are some real waiting seasons that y'all are going through. We need to look at it like, let's find it all in Christ first. And then it's all overflow, no matter where we are any day. And so I think, but going to JJ's question, I think like, it's really just enduring it, knowing like James 1, whenever you face trials, whenever you face this waiting season, when you face it with perseverance and patience with the Lord, you are growing stronger and your faith is being built. Your character is being built. And with that, there's reason to have joy because you're literally getting stronger when you endure this with the Lord.
So powerful. Amen. It's so good, girl. I'm like, yes, it is. Oh my gosh. It's so true. Ashley, I just love you. I feel like we could just sit down and keep chatting, but I'm just so grateful for the gift that you are, for your vulnerability today, for your story, for this book, this 100 Day or 100 Devotions, the joy of the in-between. Like, it's so powerful. And it's for all my singles listening. And it's for anybody who's like, hey, I'm engaged right now and I'm not waiting in a season of singleness, but what are you maybe in a season of in-between on career, like you're saying, or community? Like, that's also a big one. Like, maybe it's an in-between season of community and friendships, and that can be really hard. So I'm just so proud of you. Tell everyone where they can connect with you on all the things.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, before we go, I just have to say this thing, because I also feel, I just want the people on the other side to be left with this. I think a lot of like the finding, you know, your singleness as a gift, we kind of leave out really believing that God can do it. And just cling to hope and belief. And this is so wild, Kate. This is wild. But I remember listening to Heart of Dating. Like,
oh my gosh.
Perhaps this is crazy, guys. Lean in. 3 years ago, I was listening to Heart of Dating. And I remember, Kate. No, was it four? It could have been 4 years ago. And I remember, Kate, you said, I don't know how we were talking about this, but you were single at the time and you were like, my desire, I could cry. This is the beauty of God, you believing for the things God has put in your heart. Like, please hear me when I say this. You better keep believing. You better keep interceding. You better keep praying about these desires because they're there for a reason. So do not give up hope until you die. Like, literally keep hoping, keep believing. Even if you are 60 years old right now listening, like, keep believing God can do it. Okay. Keep believing he can do it. I was listening to this podcast 4 years ago with Kate, and Kate said that her desire was to be doing her podcast in her ministry with a man who is going to do it with her. It was going to be like encouraging singles, encouraging people to pursue Jesus and put Jesus first in their dating life. And then, Kate, when I saw that you were with JJ, and I just am now seeing you guys in ministry, and I could cry when I was seeing you guys at the conference, just standing there, I just remembered how 4 years ago you said that desire and God put that desire in your heart. And so like, God is faithful. And when he puts desires on our heart, it's not to torture us. I truly believe it's for us to believe. Just, hey, daughter, keep believing. I know it's been hard. Keep believing. Like, we should not stop believing. Just because it's taken a long time doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
And you know, Ashley, what I love about that is like, I felt the Lord so many times. Like, I felt so many people were like, you need another man to co-host this show. Like, you need a man's perspective. You should bring in a guy. And I talked to various guys, like single guys throughout the years to like join Heart of Dating. And I never pulled the trigger because I kept feeling like, no, it's not right. No, it's not right. Like, and I just, there was somewhere in that that I was like, I think it's going to be your husband. And like, I didn't bank on it. I didn't say to JJ like, hey, in order to marry me, you're going to have to join Heart of Dating. Like, how sweet it was is that the Lord put it on his heart so specifically and individually. And it was like that moment of like, oh my gosh, like this is how it was supposed to be all along. And I couldn't have crafted a better, like, no wonder I felt all the no's with all those other guy co-leads of the podcast. And it just, yeah, it's just so phenomenal to see even you, JJ, who's never was on a podcast before, and who had done very little speaking, to like be now doing co-hosting and doing Friday episodes like on his own. I'm like, look at you go. But seriously, look at God. Look at God. Like, it's so amazing. Levy's paw is on the mic. And well, so,
because you got me and Levy co-hosting.
Yes.
You got more Levy. Than what you bargained
so cool.
for.
Like, God knew that JJ needed to be in this position before JJ was even like born. Like, he knew.
And I had a desire, you know, to be a co-host on a Christian dating podcast.
No, he did not.
That's, you know, really when I
didn't know how.
My 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, I said, God, I have this desire to be a co-host and run Friday Mini Mansodes where I can pour it. No, but I'm serious, you know, it is funny. I think God works with your desires, and then God totally works in your unexpected, hey, whatever you got for me is way better than anything I could dream of personally. So let's do that as well.
Because like, that was never JJ's vision for himself of like co-hosting a podcast with me, you know?
Yeah, I think both are great. I think God works in both. But I do think, you know, the picture that I came to my mind was, I think God just invites us. He's the gardener planting in the field, and he invites us to dig the hole with him, to plant the seed with him, to watch and harvest things and grow together. Like, he invites us into that process, which is, I think, you know, we kind of want to shoo him off and do our own thing on our own little field. I'm like, God just invites us in, which is, you know, the sovereign cosmic God of the universe who, you know, he doesn't even speak our language. The way I speak to Levy is, you know, dumbing myself down to a dog's level to comprehend. God does the same. God doesn't speak the English. God doesn't speak the earthly languages. There's literally a heavenly language that he speaks that's above our mind and spirit. That's the gift of tongues, is so that we can speak on God on his level, right? So God totally bends down to man's level and invites us in to dream with him, to craft with him, to harvest with him. And that's why when he says, come to me, my yoke is easy, it's still an invitation to partnership. He just gets to be the big oxen, and we get to be the little baby one alongside of him, harvesting and planting and plowing together. So Ashley, it's such a sweet moment to have you on here.
Aww,
I love that
so
you
cool.
listen to Heart of Dating. I wanted to ask you some fun questions about what's your favorite dating app, what's the worst dating experience you've had lately, but we'll save that for a part two because we're all curious to hear.
But tell everyone too where they can connect with you, because you guys are going to want to follow Ashley because she's so fun to follow. I'm
I know,
serious.
You really are.
Oh my goodness, this has been such a joy. I just really pray that the person on the other side feels encouraged and not alone. And so if you would like to read the book, you can get my new book, The Joy of the In-Between. And if you want to follow along, you can follow me on all the social media platforms under my name, Ashley Hetherington, and then on Instagram, The Honey Scoop.
Yeah.
YouTube, you got Pinterest, you got TikTok. You guys, she's on everything and she does it so well. Like, she is an amazing content creator and like encourager. So please go check her out and get your hot girl fits, you know? Holy girl fits. Holy girl fits. Sorry. Holy girl.
Whoa. The narrative.
Yeah. So
that's what I meant. I knew it started with an H and I said hot girl still. A holy girl.
Did you go on a holy girl walk today?
I haven't because it's in the negatives right now. Yeah. We're going on our walking pad.
Okay, yeah, the walking pad. Holy girl walk on the walking pad. Yeah. For sure. I got one of those too.
All right. Love you, honey. Scoop.
We love you, girl.
I love you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
The Heart of Dating podcast is created by Kate and JJ Tomlin. Shout out to our epic audio and video editor, Scott Caro. We have an amazing Heart of Dating team who helps bring the show to you each week. I want to shout out Kelsey Napier, our Heart of Dating digital marketing coordinator, and Elena Gibson, our brand and community manager. We couldn't do it without them. Now, if you guys have never ranked us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify, would you consider doing that? It would mean so much because our podcast can get more discovered and more people can learn how to better date as Christians. Don't we all want that? We launch our podcast each and every week on Wednesdays. So we will see you next week.